Welcome to the Voice of St. Anthony Parish from Allston, Massachusetts, right here on WROL 950 AM 100.3 FM. And you can also hear us at CatholicAudioMedia.com and your favorite podcast platform, and also at St. Anthony Allston, stanthonyallston.org, and just click on the menu item that says Radio Show. You can hear us there, too. Well, we're going to be talking to Rachel Kalacki. She is the author of a book from Ave Maria Press called Love in Recovery, a one-woman story of breaking from the shame and healing from pornography addiction. Obviously, because of the subject, we'd encourage you, if you have young people who are in the room, maybe you might want to listen to this at another time through our podcast, or maybe you want to put on headphones, or maybe encourage them to go at another place, whatever the case may be. But it's a fascinating interview we have today and tomorrow and Thursday. So let us switch over right now to talk to Rachel Kalacki from Florida. I'm speaking with Rachel Kalacki, and we're talking here about love in recovery. And I have to tell you, you really touched so well on so many issues there. And the first one you touched on, which was like right out of the gate, which maybe I should say I feel a little bad of thinking this way, but when I saw your book and you know I received it from Ave Maria, the first thing that popped into my mind is I didn't think that was a woman's issue. And you, right out of the gate, you touch on that.
Yeah, it's a common misconception, and one that I am spending kind of a career on reversing. So yeah, you're definitely not alone in that conception.
And it seems that, as you said, men tend to be more visual, so they follow one type of pornography, but women tend to more. You put it in a form of like relationships. So is a woman's form of pornography more like something you'd read in a novel or a textual as opposed to photo, or I'm not sure?
Yeah, this is something I'm continually researching because I think we have created a bit of a false dichotomy of men watch porn, women want romance, right? And I think romance or romantic movies or romantic books can be gateways for women, especially when they include sexual content. But one study by psychologists that I really like to rely on is one from, I think it was 2008 or 10. It was over a decade ago, so I can only imagine the information is more accurate now. But they, two psychologists mapped men's responses to pornography, visual pornography, and they mapped women's responses and then asked them what they attributed their arousal to. And men responded that it was the attractiveness of the people in the video. And women responded that it was their ability to imagine themselves as somebody in the video. So it's not that women don't like visual pornography, they do. It's that the intermediary of their imagination allows them to consume more types of pornography than men. So men's consumption, I would just say, is more simplistic, right? And I think as the porn industry has evolved from just, you know, pictures or magazines, the industry has kind of targeted that intermediary of the imagination that women use. So yeah, it's not that men are visual and women aren't. It's that both men and women are visual, but for different reasons, I guess, or their visual nature takes different paths. And women's is perhaps a more complex path and men's is a more simplistic path.
Now, one of the things I'm going to do is give kind of a disclaimer about, you know, maybe you wouldn't want young people in the room listening. However,
yes,
you did bring out that the age that people start porn, I can't remember if it was men and women or just women, is 9.
Yeah. 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 So I think it was about a decade ago that the age was 11, and then now it's moved down to 9 years old. So the average age of exposure of a child is 9 years old to pornography.
And is that an accidental exposure that begins or something like that? Or is it, you know, I mean, today you just press the wrong button and you can end up in the wrong place.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's part of my story. I think that all of, you know, everybody has a unique way they were exposed. Most, I would say, are accidental, but I know plenty of women and men who are exposed by someone they know, whether that was a peer or a family member. So obviously mm-hmm. that's tragic that somebody mm-hmm. in their life, especially somebody they love and trust, would expose them. But that does happen frequently.
Interesting you bring that up, because that's one of the things that I teach. If someone shows you something that you know you're not supposed to see, that's a huge red flag, and run and make sure you tell your
parents.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so that begins at such a young age, and then it just continues. And it seems to continue and also increase, such as mm-hmm. any other kind of addiction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot of discussion in the psychological world right now about whether or not sexual addiction can be considered an addiction. It's not currently included in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, or the DSM-5, the fifth edition of the DSM. So clinicians are hesitant to use the term sexual addiction, kind of similar to their hesitancy surrounding gambling addiction. But there's just increasing evidence that pornography is kind of akin to a drug, and that consumption of it creates more tolerance. And so therefore you need more and more extreme or more quantity of content in order to achieve your desired high. It's I think there's no reason why we should withhold that the definition of addiction from a sexual behavior that increases like that.
And I know I've talked to people who have that addiction, and that's it. It's just, they find it, well, as any other addiction, very difficult to separate themselves from it. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, I'm not in that category, so I don't have that issue. But that's always been fascinating, that it is not something that you can just not do.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. There's a psychologist, Gerald May, that I really like his work. And he was a Christian psychiatrist. And he talks about the five hallmarks of addiction. And I think when we're talking about addiction, we think of just frequency. Like, oftentimes people will ask me, how do I know if I'm addicted to pornography? Or how do I know if I'm addicted to masturbation? How do I know if I'm addicted to something else? And a lot of times they're just looking for frequency. They're saying, I only watch porn once a week, or et cetera. And frequency is actually not one of the main hallmarks of addiction. It can definitely be an alarm bell for evaluating whether or not an addiction is present. But there's five different categories that kind of are hallmarks of addictive behavior or an addiction. And one of the biggest ones is loss of willpower. So kind of what you're talking about of a lot of people in their relationship with their sexual sin say, I can quit whenever I want. And that's just simply not the case. And I know I hit that wall of, this is something that I can just leave behind, and I just need to have more resistance to it or whatever. And it wasn't the case for me. I needed more extreme measures in order to actually quit. And because your willpower becomes compromised, it's no longer just a matter of choice. And I think a lot of our language surrounding pornography addiction in particular talks about fighting, like you need to fight porn addiction, you need to fight back. And I see some merit to that language, but also it's kind of difficult to fight when you have no willpower, So I think one of the first steps is rehabilitating your will. One of the biggest things you can do is go to the Sacrament of Reconciliation and place your will under the will of God, and kind of recommit to the life of grace. But there are many other kind of psychological steps that you have to take to regain that willpower so you can actually resist.
And something I always point out when you are talking about an addiction, because people get into the mindset of, well, I went to confession, but then I fell into it again. It's just, that doesn't make any difference. Mm-hmm. Just the confession itself, eventually you will see yourself drifting away from it. But I always encourage, if someone's really want to separate an addiction, regardless of what it is, I always recommend confession once a week. And one of the things that I insist on, it's not a requirement, but I listen to confession anonymously. So the booth with the little window and the two different entrances and the whole bit. So someone has a chance to come to confession anonymously, and I have no idea who they are. So that adds that additional ability to feel free what they want to say. And that's one of the reasons.
You're listening to the voice of St. Anthony Parish from Allston, Massachusetts, right here on WROL, 950 AM, 100.3 FM. You can also hear us at catholicaudiomedia.com, stanthonyallston.org, and various podcast platforms. We'll be right back right after this.
You can now leave a message for us, which we can air and discuss on this program. Just call 617-297-7452.
That's 617-297-7452.
617-297-7452. Feel free to call, leave a comment, a question, or even feedback, and we may play it on the air. I can discuss your comment or question as well, so give that a try.
617-297-7452. 617-297-7452. We'll be back tomorrow with more of my interview with Rachel Kalacki and talking about her book, Love and Recovery, One Woman's Story of Breaking Free from Shame and Healing from Pornography Addiction. And she's continuing our subject. So we'll be talking tomorrow right here at 3 o'clock on WROL and then at 3:16 on your favorite podcast platform. In the meantime, have yourself a blessed day. And remember that you always have a standing invitation to our 10 o'clock AM Mass at St. Anthony Parish in Allston, Massachusetts, stanthony.org. We'll see you tomorrow.
I want to call your attention to Catholic TV, which offers great faith-filled, family-friendly programming 24 hours a day. You can find your cable channel at www.getcatholictv.com, and you can watch online, on the free apps, or check out the YouTube channel. Daily Mass, Rosaries, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and the Our Lady of Perpetual Help Novena are all available online and on demand. Check out CatholicTV.com. If you would like to support our program, please consider a donation to St. Anthony Parish in Allston, Massachusetts. There are several ways to consider this. One is to purchase any of our merchandise, which you can find at the shopping tab at CatholicAudioMedia.com. That's CatholicAudioMedia.com. There are coffee mugs there. There's also my latest book, Encounter Christ in Your Humanity, all of which you can find at the shopping tab at CatholicAudioMedia.com. You can also donate to the show directly through either the Donate tab, also at CatholicAudioMedia.com, or by sending a donation to the U.S. Postal Service with your questions and comments at 43 Holton Street, Allston, Massachusetts, 02134. That's St. Anthony Parish, 43 Holton Street, Allston, Massachusetts, 02134. Finally, the best way you can support our parish is to attend Mass on Sundays at 10 o'clock and be a part of our parish. We thank you for any support you would like to give to St. Anthony Parish in Allston, Massachusetts, the sponsoring parish for this media outreach to Catholics and other Christians in the WROL, WEZE, and podcast listening audience. In Cristo vivimos.